So, Lord, I would like to start by thanking you for the opportunity to share the simplicity of the word. I've been paying attention to something lately. Now that I'm on social media like regularly because I'm part of it, stuff pops up on my feed and I hear different people preaching. And I call it, you could call it preaching, but they're kind of just winging it, or they're talking about their personal feelings. And you men in the church, you don't know this, and you women, you know this and that, and they're using words that are just, you know, 2 seconds away from really cussing at people out, you know. And I was listening to a couple of these videos and I was like sitting there going, wow, we really kind of have gotten away from the gospel, haven't we? You know, I start to, you know, think, you know, and I said, we, I don't think I have, but, you know, I'm realizing that it's becoming, I don't know, maybe it always has been, but I just didn't see it before. But it's becoming a place, the pulpit has, at least I've realized, if it's been there for a while, y'all can let me know. But it's become a place a lot for a lot of pastors to vent. The sharing of the gospel is venting about what other people are not doing right, what other church is not doing as good as them, what your so-and-sos and N-word should be doing up in here, how you ain't looking out and you ain't paying your tithes, and Karen's giving me the thumbs up. So, and I was like, wow. So you're up there either shaming people for not giving enough money or letting off your gripes about the ministry and how the ministry is or is not working. And I said, God, check me if I've ever done that or if I've ever got to the place where, you know. And he said, well, I can't check you for if it ever was, because that's past. He said, but definitely now, for sure, is what you need to be focused on. So I said, Lord, well, how do I stay out of that problem or out of that trouble? And he said, by doing what you've been doing, teaching the word. Stay on the word, stay close to the word, share the word, elaborate. Even if you just take a scripture, put the Bible down, and then you just start to wing it, you got to be very careful at that point, because how far away are you getting into your opinion and point of view? So I'm always getting invited now on people's chats. They send me stuff when they're live trying to get me to join because they want to hear what I got to say. And it was a conversation that was going on. Was it last night? On somebody's chat or yesterday evening. And they were talking about the situation with the college kids where the football player and the kid, I mean, he as they say on social media, unalived him. And it was you know, it's now, of course, it's very racially divided. So when the guy saw I was, I guess, on, because it shows that I'm joined the he immediately sends for me to come on the panel or come on live. You understand what I'm saying so far, right? They immediately request me now to actually join the group. And sometimes if they're talking stupidity or garbage that I don't want to get involved in, you know, I'll decline. It'll pop back up again. I'll decline. It'll pop back up again. I'll decline. You're talking about stupidity and I don't want to get in it. But this time it was about race. And as I do, I sit and I search myself and I prayed and I get in if I feel led. And I get in for the opportunity to share what I believe God puts on my heart that can introduce God, Christ, to the conversation. I'm sharing this with you for a reason. When I'm on these chats, I'm very careful. But not careful like panicked or nervous careful. But careful to not let people drag me into the conversation they wish to have. I'm there to share something. Are you with me? Are you with me? I'm there to share something. I'm there to share the Christ that I have, or just not even in sometimes I'm saying, let me tell you all about Jesus. No, but just to represent Christ in a way that no matter where they try to go, I will come back to this point. This is what I'm here to state. And then after I do, I'll say, you know, you learn the language. Okay, I'm going to land my plane. I land my plane. And then sometime I'll just pop out. Now, here's my point. When you're here in the world, everybody has an agenda. Everybody has a point. Everybody has opinion, from the pulpit to the social media and to your conversations. You have the family cookout, whatever. Somebody's going to get up and they're going to want to try to talk about their point of view, especially when it comes to God, because then they'll start giving, well, why would a God? Okay, so you now want to intellectualize God down to your immaturity or your lack of wisdom, and then you want me to fight with you with my perspective. Well, I won't. I'll give you the word and then I'll let it go. And if you want to continue on, I'll go. And I'll give you only what God gives me to give you. All of that to say this. Today, we have a responsibility to just know God and his word. Through his word, outside of our opinions, outside of what we see and what we feel, which is complicated because this is strongly about what we feel a lot of times. As I know I'm taking it a little slow starting, but keep your seatbelt on because you know I'm going somewhere. I have to know the personality of the God I represent. I have to know how he feels about me realistically in order for me to share it with someone else. Pay close attention to where I'm going. This is where we begin. You ready? All that was a setup. Here we go. I can't share with you God's love if I don't really know his love or believe I'm loved by God. So when people get up there angrily and say, well, God loves you and Jesus died for your sins. And it's like, you don't look like a loved person. So it's going to be kind of awkward for you to kind of share love with me when the tone that's coming out of you, even though you're saying God loves me, is anger or frustration. You with me? When you're saying God loves me or Jesus died for me, you're saying that because you're frustrated and irritated at me, about me, or what it, you know, non-Christian to Christian. You understand what I'm saying? You're pushing it from the perspective. You're disgusted that I don't see your point of view, not that you know God loves me because you really feel that he loves you. Is that clear enough? You are talking to me out of anger because I refuse to see your point of view or your frustration or whatever it is you're trying to convey because you don't truly have that experience with God yourself. So it's impossible for you to convey God's love to me when you really, really don't believe it. So you're just saying what you're supposed to say as a Christian. Well, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. Because if you're not, you're going to go to hell. Well, if that's where your conversation lands, then you don't have much to offer because you don't really have a relationship enough with God. So this is why people get on the pulpit and they vent and they rant and they talk about their week and what they're frustrated about and, you know, what irritates them because they haven't found a peace. Watch what I'm about to say. To give to you. I can't give you a peace I don't have. I can't love my brother as I love myself if I don't love myself. And I can't love myself if I don't believe the God of love really loves me. I read it. I confess it because I'm supposed to. But I don't really feel loved or believe I'm loved by God. I can't convey it. Watch this. So in times of things that seem to be troubling or trying to you, it's hard for you to stand in the place of faith if you don't believe the one who promises faithful to you and or loves you. Is that fair enough to say? When the enemy comes at me and he comes at you through circumstances and situations, the first thing he says, listen to me close, is the same thing he said back then. Has God really said? Does he really love you? Does he really provide your needs according to his riches and glory? Are you really, according to his stripes, healed and made whole? Is this really the truth? Now, I can try to say that to somebody, but if that's not my experience of God and with God, it's religious and not a real communication or conversation. So my body has been under attack for what, almost 2 months now. I just watched my skin and stuff just begin to look like it was deteriorating and stuff popping up all over. The enemy's telling me I'm dying. He's telling me all these things are happening. My hair started all falling out my head. It was crazy. And in those moments, I heard the most scary and atrocious things the enemy could say to me. And at that moment, I could not anchor myself in the word if I really didn't believe the relationship was real. Am I speaking to you now? It's hard to believe in a God I don't really know. He loves me and cares about me and trust. Even at those times, maybe some of you may not want to admit this, but I'll be honest to admit it for you. The enemy, the mind, begins to want me to question his reality. Maybe you just believe in this thing, it ain't really true. I mean, come on, maybe you are just off of some religious thing. You ain't never really seen God. All these kind of things try to come, and of course I have. But at that moment, when things are coming against you, or coming against your finances, or coming against your health, you have to dig back into something that goes deeper than feelings and emotions. You have to go back to the truth that resides on the inner side of your spirit that nothing can touch but you and God. Am I talking to you? So I pulled up a scripture today based on, I said, well, God, I need to understand how to explain to people what I drew on in that moment when everything was feeling like it was going wrong. And I don't have an answer. And I'm going to the doctor, and they're not giving me any answers at all. They're just looking at me and pretty much say, all right, see you next time. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's another bill for you. I got it. But you didn't do anything. You looked at me, you poked me around, you looked here, you looked there, and you sent me home. Well, come back in another month. And the last time the doctor said, come back in another week. I still deal with my ears, even right now as I'm talking to you, sounding like I got my finger in both ears and not being able to really hear clearly. And that, you gotta understand, for me, that's very weird. I'm a musician. I can't produce, mix music, do anything if I can't hear. I'm still standing. I've gone to the ENT twice. He put a vacuum cleaner in my ears and vacuumed them out, sprinkled some powder in there and said, go home. I did that, came back a couple of weeks later and said, okay, check it again. It's still a little clogged up. He vacuumed me again. He sent me home. He told me to come back now in a week. And I'm like, okay, so what's he gonna do? Just vacuum me every couple of, like, this is not apartment cleaning. Like, this is serious. This is my hearing. I tell you these things to let you know that I have to stand against the attacks of the enemy just like you do. But standing is not about gritting your teeth, holding on, sticking your chin up, rebuking the devil with a hard tone, and getting all tight in your neck and all of that kind of stuff. And getting a bunch of people to yell and circle around you and pray to God at the top of their voice. Because they go home and you go home. And what you're left with at that moment is what you really believe in the core of your heart. What you go home with that moment is your own thoughts, your own emotions, your own feelings, and your own knowing. So I don't get every week and say, guys, it's not, I haven't seen it getting better. Actually, it's gotten worse. Now it's spread even more, which has happened. But then the past couple of days, I'm watching the manifestation of healing. And I said to God, I begin to heal when I begin to accept that the only person that could heal me was you. And I let go. And I received the peace about my healing. Watch what I'm about to say. In spite of, I received that you have me anyway. Having done all, stand therefore. I had to make a decision that no matter what creams they gave me, whatever things they gave me, was stuff they tried to get me to put on me that just made me feel worse, or it feel worse. The only thing at the end of the day was me stopping. I'm going to get to these scriptures, but I hope, am I helping you? Am I ministering something to you right now? If this is helpful, let me know. Show me a hand, give me a thumbs up, something. Amen. Is me finally stopping and saying, okay, God, they've said all they can say. They've done obviously all they can do. What say you? Right? Isn't that the way we understand? And the answer I got back in my spirit, it was no. What say you about what I say? Come on. What do you say about what I say? What I said is permanent, it's in my word. What do you say about that? And I had to pull back and really just get myself away and say, and I don't mean go off to the mountains and anything, just in my own private time, just sit down and say, what do I believe? And I had to remind myself again the things I already knew from before. So, I know this was a long prelude into it, but here we go. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm starting at verse 13. And this is the anchor place I had to go. So I ask you not to lose heart, not to faint or become despondent through fear. Reading from the Amplified. So I ask you not to faint, not to lose heart, or become despondent through fear. Don't faint. Don't lose heart. You know what I mean? Don't give up. But then the other word was for me that spoke to me was to become despondent. Who knows the definition of the word despondent? Who knows the definition of the word despondent? Karen stuck up her hand. Who else? You don't know the definition of the word despondent? You don't know? Come on, you can cheat. You can look it up. It's an open book test. To become despondent. Now, Dr. Brown here, she's a teacher of teachers, so she may know if she can jump on and wants to share it. But I'll begin if nobody else wants to jump in. Somebody has, no, I'll let you in. I want this to be that kind of conversation. To be despondent is what? Go ahead, Sophie.
I looked it up. It says in low spirits from loss of hope or courage.
Say it again.
In low spirits from loss of hope or courage.
It's got to be a better definition than that. Yeah, I've seen that one,
Okay.
but I've seen better. I've seen more to be despondent, to not respond. Go ahead, Nelly. Let me see what you got.
Feeling or showing profound hopelessness, dejection, discouragement, or gloom.
That's the one. To the point that you become almost paralyzed. To become despondent means you don't even respond anymore. You just become lost. Loss of hope is the right word, but it's just like to the point that you see, they say people, they become so depressed, they lock themselves in the room, they don't get out the bed, they just lay there in their own filth and blah, blah, blah. That's, man, that's the ultimate level of despondent. Like you just shut down. You lose all hope. So he's saying, I'm asking you not to lose heart, don't faint, you know what that is, to pass out, or become despondent because of the thing that the fear that's confronting you, because of fear. Don't give up at what I am suffering on your behalf. Don't panic, he's saying, because of what I'm going through. Don't become despondent. Don't lose faith in God. Oh, I thought he was a good man in God. How is this happening to him? Well, if this can happen to him, then what's going to happen to me? You understand all that stuff that we can do? He's saying, don't do that. Rather glory in it, for it is an honor to you. Now, he's not talking about what's happening to you right now. He's talking about what's happening to him. I want you to catch this. Because I've read this a thousand times and I never understood it. And I always understood that don't be upset because of what you suffer. And he's saying, what you're seeing me go through in front of you, don't become discouraged or despondent. He says, honor you for this reason, seeing this greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ. I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that father from which all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. I'm gonna go back into that a little bit because that's powerful, but I don't wanna lose the point. Watch this, you ready? That he may grant you out of the rich treasure of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in your inner man. Are you listening to what I've been saying so far? That you will receive strength and be strengthened with power, not in your feelings, not in your emotions, not, oh, well, I feel bad. Lord, I looked at myself now. I look healed. Oh, I had a fever. Now the fever is gone. I don't feel it anymore. That's not where you derive your strength from. You derive your strength from the inner man, and then let the inner man affect the outer man. Come on, stay with me. This is important, what I'm saying right now. I'm learning that when I feel attacked on my outer, even if it's my outer emotion, because you think your emotions are inner, they're outer too. Those are all outer experience. And my emotions and my physical body and my anger, my heart, and all this, he said, but I receive strength not from looking at the outer man, but for digging into that inner man, that quiet place that nobody can go but me and God. You've heard me say it before, and it's in one of my quotes. You can some if you sit with God long enough that it gets so true inside your spirit, you can get so deep truth with that truth that not even the devil can touch it. You now entered into that place. I always thought that quiet place, and I always thought that place, that room you went to was a physical place that you went, and this is where I have my prayer time, and it's my quiet place. It's not. It's not. It's inside of you. You have to be able to go in that place wherever you are, in a crowded train station and an airport, noise all around you. You have to be able to, at times, to pull into that quiet place Block out everything around you. The person standing right in front of you cursing. I know it sounds easier said than done, and sometimes it could be to the flesh, but it takes practice. But to find yourself in that place where you can block out, and God will block out all the noise around you. The place he's telling you to go to is to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in your inner man. Not just with power, with mighty power. Let me read this again. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced. Oh my God. We're going to go through some words today. We know what strengthened is. Do you know what it is to be reinforced? Who knows the definition of reinforced? That means what you have or had when you came into the army or to the battle, even if it's been weakened by the attack, he'll send in reinforcements. He'll send in backup. He'll send in strength that you didn't have if you get still in your inner man. Listen, I hope I'm helping you out today. That there is a place in my inner man that he can send me strength. And he can send me backup, and he will send me a force to give me strength with his mighty power in my inner man. But the reinforcements are like when Moses couldn't keep his hand up, and they came and they held his hands up. In the realm of the spirit, that's what happens when I feel like I can't take no more. But then I withdraw to my inner man, and God then begins to send in the troops to support me in my stand. He begins to send me that power. It ain't just a, well, you know, I believe. No. That's you trying to make your feelings feel something. It's something that happens when you rest in him, that on your insides, you just know, you just feel it. Your flesh can't even speak to you anymore because you become reinforced and strengthened inside of yourself. Who needs to hear this right now? This is where we find our power to win. It's not in the feelings, it's not in the emotions, it's not in the arguing, it's not in me making my point and make sure you heard, and you just make sure you understand me. I don't think you, but it's like, okay, God, I just want to get quiet. Sometime right in the middle of the conversation, God said, I need you to pull for me because I need you to say something to this person right now, and they're not going to hear you. So I need you to withdraw. And I need you to get still. And I need you to get quiet. But my heart hurts, God. But my emotions feel drained and frustrated. And he says, yeah. And that's why I need you quiet. Because nothing you're going to say or nothing you're going to do right now is going to come out of anything but your frustration. I need you to be quiet. I need you to get still. So that you can get with me. So that I can reinforce you. And strengthen you in your inner man. Okay, let me finish. Bring it on home now. Bring it on home. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power. Not just reinforce you with what you have, but with mighty power in the inner man, by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. I want you to take that verse and stick it on a refrigerator. By the Holy Spirit himself indwelling in your innermost being and personality. Your innermost being and personality. May Christ through your faith actually dwell, live, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your heart. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. Why? That you may have the power to be strong and to apprehend or grasp with all the saints, what is the breadth? What is the length? What is the height? And what is the depth of that love? That you may really come to know practically and through experience for yourself the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Did you get that? Did you understand that? There is a measure of God that He wants us to have. And it, I've been confessing wisdom, insight, understanding, knowledge of God, peace, patience, prosperity, and abundance. And He said, but what you left out was that it's rooted in love. It's rooted in my love for you. He said, all of those things are great, but what you just, if you just already said, this love surpasses wisdom. It surpasses knowledge. It surpasses insight. It surpasses understanding. That love of God that He's given to me, that strengthens me with mighty power and reinforces in me, is, watch this, one more time, verse 17. May Christ through your faith actually fill, dwell, and settle down and abide and make His permanent home in your heart. May you be filled deep in love and founded securely on love. So the whole wisdom, insight, understanding, knowledge of God, the foundation of that is His love. I have to know He loves me enough to give me wisdom, loves me enough to give me insight, loves me enough to give me understanding, knowledge of God, peace, prosperity, patience, and abundance. Well, does He love me enough that He's done that for me? Does He, watch this, does He love me? And if I don't know that love, back to where I started this thing, how can I believe that I have it? How can I receive it? And how can I stand on it even to give it to somebody else? Is all I have is experience, but no heart of God, no love of God. I'm not to my heart of God toward people. I'm to my heart of God toward me. I can't give you what I don't have. And you can't give somebody what you don't have. The secret place that you hear songs talk about, the quiet place that you hear songs talk about, it's not a physical place. It's a spiritual place. It's a place that as these attacks were coming at me one after another, and Kwame said he got it in his spirit when we talked about it the first time, that God told him I was under attack and to hold me down. And other people let me know, you know, I was sensing something was wrong, something wasn't right. I'm not a whiner, so I don't get out there and start crying on people and telling them my problems. But I did struggle to that time to just breathe, you know, just to like, God, you hear me of one thing and then it's another thing, and you hear me of another, then it's another thing, and just one thing after another, after another, after another. And God said to my heart, I need you to quiet the noise before you respond. And I shared that with you guys. And what I learned through this season is, in that quiet, you don't be quiet just to know, just to, I'm just going to be quiet and trust God. But no, that's where you get a chance to go deeper into God. I feel like I'm not doing a good job of explaining to you what it is I'm trying to say. So I'm praying by His Spirit that He's revealing to your spirit what I'm trying to say, because it's not intellectual what I'm sharing. It's not logical or emotional. It's a place between you and God that nobody else can share. And my prayer today, the cry of my heart, is that you guys hear my spirit, hear my heart, and get what you need and go to that place where nothing speaks but you and God. And if you haven't practiced that, it's going to take a minute. I'm going to promise you that. Because as you're trying to get quiet and go in, every noise is going to yell at you. As you try to get quiet, everything is going to say, yeah, but your flashbacks of what that person said that you should have cursed out is going to come at you again. The thing you could have done and should have done different and could have done better. That mistake that you made over and over again. The enemy is going to do everything he can. Watch this. To keep going boogity, 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 boogity. To keep you from getting in that place. It's whew. But with God's help, you go there. You go there. You get quiet and you hear God. I want to take a moment with us right now. Right now. And I want to invite you just to let's take a journey. You could put the music under soft. And I just want to just pray softly. And I just want to ask God to give everybody that moment right now to come into that place, that solitude before God. Father, Lord, we thank you. We quiet our minds. We quiet the thoughts before you. And if we can't quiet them, then we surrender them to you so that you can quiet them. Lord, I speak peace over your people right now. Peace, peace, peace. The peace that passes all understanding will guard their heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I pray right now, Lord God, that every noise, every lying wonder, every voice that seeks to exalt itself above your knowledge of this love, of this reinforcement, of this strength that we read about today, I pray, Lord, that you move for us all. I speak peace. Mind be quiet. Thoughts be quiet. Intellect and logic be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. You've had your turn. Not your turn anymore. And I speak peace. I speak God's peace. God's strength, God's encouragement over each and every person here today. Father, let them be strengthened knowing that they're strengthened in your love. Let us anchor ourselves in your love. Let us anchor ourselves in the fact that we know that we are loved by you, that you care about us passionately, that you watch over us from beginning to end throughout eternity. That you love us, that we are dear to you. Lord, we can't love you like we should until we know that we are loved. So we surrender to you, God, not for a bunch of answers and a bunch of stuff right now, but just to know the depth of your love, the breadth, the height, the width of your love, to know how you love. And to get, at least get the understanding that our human minds can take for now, that our human spirits can receive for now. Let your Holy Spirit take over and begin to speak that love to us, that encompasses us, that surrounds us, that not only surrounds us, but goes deep, deep down into the root of us. We are strengthened in our inner man by that love. We thank you for that love, your love. We're not trying to love you with our love anymore. We're not even trying to feel love for you. We surrender to you to receive your love so that we can redisperse to you what you give to us. Teach us what that love is in our inner man. Strengthen everybody listening. Strengthen everybody who hears this. It's time for the church to get back to the simple things, not preaching and judging each other. And pointing fingers at this wrong and this right and this injustice and that. No, Lord, just let us know you and know your love so that we be filled containers of that love, that no matter where we go, it spills out on people, even when we're not trying to. Help me, Lord, as you have me go on these different panels to continue to represent you well. And they get in my inbox and say to me, thank you for representing your religion and your faith without judgment and with love, even though we don't believe. We appreciate you. Lord, help us to be walking examples of that love and that light. Help us, show us, and help us be quiet. We silence every voice right now. Every thought, every feeling, every logic, everything we think we know, we silence it right now. And we surrender ourselves to you. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Not our faith in things, our faith in you and our faith in your love. You are the merciful one. My healing comes from your love. Everything, my life, my existence, my breath, the very air I take in comes from your love. God is love. You are love. And we are loved by you. Teach us, Lord, how to love you. Teach us how to receive your love, that we may be strengthened, reinforced, encouraged, built up, fortified, and repurposed for your perfect use. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, we lay prostrate at your feet. We prostrate at your feet and we thank you and trust you that you are the healing God. In Jesus' name, we trust you. And just stay there for a moment. Just be still. Just be still. Just be still. Just be still. Let him speak to and minister to your heart. Be still until you can hear him say, I love you. Be still till you can hear and sense his love in your spirit. Be still. Be still. God, we've been taught all our life in church to know you through your power. Today we seek to know you through your love. We're still. We're quiet. We trust you. We thank you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your time and your ears. I pray that your day is blessed. Amen.